Hebrews chapter 11, I'll begin reading in verse 28, and I'll read down to verse number 30, and then a little bit from now we'll go to Joshua 6. All right, Hebrews 11, start reading in verse 28. If you'll just follow, I'll read out loud. Through faith, he, now this is Moses, is where we were last week, so we're picking back up with that. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now notice the transition in verse 29. By faith they, now in 28 it said through faith he, the transition is from he to they now in verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, the same to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. So we have a transition from he in verse 28 to they in verse 29. Last week we talked about the faith of Moses. Now this week we're talking about the faith of Israel, the people themselves, that group of people, Israel. Now as we've been starting, each of these lessons we're going to start with what we have a definition, an understanding of what faith is. Now, it's important when we teach lessons that we start by coming to an agreement about what terms we're using, what the definition of these terms are. A lot of times people talk past each other because they use the same words with different meanings. So we want to make sure we have the same meaning so we understand what we're talking about as we're talking about faith. Now, we've gone over it multiple times, and so we're going to go over it again. And then I'll put it up on the wall in just a second. Let's see how well you remember. We said this, faith is what? Believing God. That's the first part, is believing God. Now, often when we talk about faith, we get in trouble because that's right where we stop. We just say, well, faith is believing God. Well, that's not all that faith is. And that's what we get in trouble, because we stop at that. So faith is believing God, but it's not just simply believing Him, but believing God enough to do what? To act in accordance to what? God does what? Says. And so it's believing. But that faith, that believing, should transition to action. How do we know it's Bible faith when you're putting that, when you put action to it? If you're not putting action to it, then it's not biblical faith. Okay? Faith is believing God enough to act in accordance with what God says without what? Seeing what God will do. That's why we call it faith. Faith, it's not sight. So here's all the blanks for you. Okay? It's believing God enough to act in accordance with what God says. The reason we call it biblical faith is because it's faith based on the what? The Bible. Okay? It's believing what God has said. It's not simply coming up with your own idea. Some people say, well, I have faith that X. Well, if there's nothing biblical about it, it's not biblical faith. You know, you can say, well, I just have faith that tomorrow it's going to be 70 degrees. Well, that may be what you think or believe, but there's nothing in the Bible you can turn to that says on March the 9th, 2015, it'll be 70 degrees out. So it's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is based on God has said something. Now I believe what God says, and I believe it to the point where I'm acting in harmony with what He says. The action is not the faith. We'll talk about this here in a little bit in the lesson. Just because it's action doesn't mean it's faith. But it starts with believing what God has said, and that transitions to the action, and that shows that I have faith. That's what James says. James says, I'll show you my faith by my works. That's the evidence. That's the substance of our faith, is the action now that we put into what we say we believe. Now, up to now, mostly through Hebrews 11, we've looked in a singular way. We've looked at Abraham. Well, we actually started way back, beginning of Hebrews 11, about Abel and Enoch. We looked at Noah. We looked at Abraham. We looked at Isaac. We looked at Jacob, Joseph, Moses' parents, even though that's two of them, but it's still kind of a singular idea. Then in Moses, but today we transition to they, so it becomes a, instead of an individual, it becomes much more of a group thing. Now, often when we talk about Israel and faith, it's usually not a positive. In fact, most of the time when people talk about faith in Israel, it's always the negative. Either they lack faith, they're weak in faith, they murmured, they complained, they disobeyed, they rebelled. What's interesting here in Hebrews 11, the Lord actually speaks positive about Israel and their faith. He says there in verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea, and then later talks about them circling the walls of Jericho again by faith. Now, before we get into some actual application to these verses, we'll talk a little bit about this by kind of backing up a little bit about faith and how faith affects others. We mentioned this about Moses' parents, so we're going to kind of back up and talk a little bit about it. When we think about faith, about our faith, here's what you need to understand. Our faith, now listen carefully, our faith always affects other people. The Christian life is not lived in a vacuum. We don't live on an island to ourselves and just say, well, that's just the way I'm going to live, or that's just what I want to do. Our faith always affects others beyond ourselves, either in a positive or negative way. Either the presence of our faith or the absence of our faith. It affects others. And so others are going to be affected. And we saw that with Moses' parents. Moses' parents played a critical role in developing Moses' faith. And I'd say the same thing about Moses. I believe this. Moses' faith was critical in developing the faith in the people of Israel. They had someone to look to, an illustration, something they could say, well, here's how Moses lived, and they could build their faith. I'm going to give you three quick lessons. This is really not the main lessons of the lesson, but I'll give you three quick things here. Kind of a little bit by review, but three things I think would help us. The first thing is this. People understand faith by seeing others act in faith. The hard thing about faith is this. We're believing the Lord. We haven't seen what the Lord is doing, but we believe the Lord based on His Word. And when you talk about faith, sometimes it's hard to get people to understand what faith is. But they can see it in your action. They watch you. Now, you talk all you want, but there's no action behind your faith. They're really not going to believe that you have faith. So the evidence of our faith is our actions. It is those actions done in faith now that encourages others to follow in our faith. Me and Brother Sellers several times talked about, and others have done this, but we've talked about putting, he has this idea of trying to put the gospel on billboards. I think that's a good idea. Sometimes you'll see it. You go down the road, sometimes along the interstate, you'll see different things about the gospel. There's nothing, I think that's a great thing. But now, let me show you the flip side. If we talked about faith on every billboard in the country, if we could at one time rent every single billboard and put something about our faith on that, but we never lived our faith, it'd be useless. See, it's not enough simply to talk about it. It's not simply to try to put it out there in a visual way as far as words. It has to be in our life. People need to see it illustrated in our very life. I believe this. If there was no Moses acting in faith, we'd never be talking about Israel acting in faith. There had to be someone who was doing what he was saying. So people understand faith often by seeing others act in faith. Now let's look at it from another angle. Some, I want you to think about this with me. Some enjoy blessings not because of their faith, but because of the faith of others. Now we're talking about, even before we get into our main lessons here, we're talking about how our faith affects others. There are some people who enjoy the blessings of someone's faith. They don't have the faith, but others have faith and they enjoy it. Let me explain what I mean. In Israel, there's what was called a mixed multitude. Not everyone in Israel was gung-ho. Not everyone in Israel was all for what they were going on. It was a mixed multitude. And sometimes when Israel listened to those in faith, they did well. And sometimes they listened to those who did not have faith and they didn't do well. But there you had this mixed multitude. Some who believed God and followed Him. Others who kind of went along with those who were following God. Now, when you read about Israel and all the blessings of God, here's what you understand. I doubt it was 100% everyone was doing everything they're supposed to be doing. But you had the majority, and the majority was receiving God's blessing. And because they received God's blessings, those blessings overflow to other people. Now, the same thing is true, if you think about it now, in a church setting. In a church, some enjoy what others provide out of their faith. I'll give you an example of what I mean. Okay, the offering plate comes by. People tithe, put their money in the plate. So here's guy number A, he tithes. Here's guy number B, he doesn't tithe. Well, the tithe of guy number A helps pay for the lights, helps pay for the heat, helps pay for the building and all that. The guy number B, who doesn't tithe, he still enjoys the light, enjoys the heat, enjoys the building. He's enjoying the blessings of the faith of guy number A. And so sometimes that's in our Christian life. It's like this. A church is kind of like a boat. It's full of people. And the boat is going downstream. You have maybe half the people paddling, half the people riding. They're all going downstream. They're all enjoying the boat ride. Only half of them doing the work.
And sometimes we got to stop and say, because people say, well, I hear what Pastor White is saying, but I don't really live by faith, and I don't really try to follow the Bible, but I seem to be enjoying God's blessing. You may be because someone else is living by faith. Might be your parents, could be other people in your family, could be other people in the church. Other people, because they're living by faith, you're enjoying the blessings from them. And that happened in Israel. They all weren't doing everything, but some of them were receiving blessings or the overflow of the blessings from those who were living for the Lord. And then we have the third idea about our faith affecting others. And the third idea is this: the faith of a group, think about group in general now, the faith of a group can be hurt by the lack of faith of others in that group. So there's a good side. Sometimes those without faith are enjoying blessings because there's those with faith living for the Lord. Now the flip side, the bad side is this: sometimes when those who have faith and they get other people who don't have faith get involved, then those who have faith sometimes get away from their faith. They start doubting God's word. They start questioning God because those without faith are influencing them. Israel at times was known for their faith and other times known for their lack of faith. Kind of really depends on who they were listening to at the moment. Can you think of any famous story in the Bible where they came to a point where they had to, talking about the nation of Israel, where they could have went by faith or they could not have went by faith, and they just had to make a decision? The 12 spies. Remember the story? 12 spies went to Canaan. 10 were what? Bad. 2 were good. Now, in Numbers, chapter number 13, here's what it says. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." There's a man of faith. Now look at the next verse. But the men that went up with him, this is the other 10, Caleb and Joshua would be on the good side. Here's the other 10. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up." Okay? Look at the difference. Caleb said, "We are well able." The other 10 said, "We be not able." They had a choice, didn't they? They had some who were saying, "Let's do it by faith." They had some who said, "Oh no, it can't happen, it can't happen." They wouldn't believe God. Now, unfortunately, the people listened to the 10. They could have had a choice here. And so what we understand is that those without faith can hurt those who do have faith. So we've got to be careful. Now, let's get back now to what we're talking about here, about the people of Israel just passing through the Red Sea and the walls of Jericho. If you look at Hebrews 11, verse 30, this is what we're going to focus on next 15, 20 minutes and look at. It says this: we talked a little bit about passing through the Red Sea last week, so we're going to focus on verse 30 today. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, if you go back with me to Joshua 6, we'll see what we're talking about here. Joshua 6, let's look at these verses together, starting in verse number 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city," go all the way around it, "all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days." So each day, one time around the city for 6 days. "And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they..." This is the end of the 7th. Okay, on the 7th day, at the end of the 7th time, they're going to blow with the trumpets. "It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn," the priest, "and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people..." This is the one circling around now. "All the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down..." What? "Flat. And the people shall send up everyone... up every man straight before him." Now, here's what we understand from these verses. They were to circle the wall one time for 6 days, and then 7 times on the 7th day, which means how many times total? 13. Yes, good. 13. Love these math wizards. Okay, so one time 6 days, 7 times on the 7th day, 13 times. So now, after the completion of the 13th trip, okay, this is the 7th day, after the 7th time on the 7th day, 13 times in total, okay, after one whole week. At the completion of the 13th trip, the priests were to blow with what? Trumpet, a long blast. Okay, a long blast of the trumpet. When the people heard the blast, they were to do what? Shout with a great shout. Now, go back to Joshua 6, look at verse 10. Notice what it says in verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout." So, day number one, there are 7 days total. Day number one, how many times are going around?
Once.
Or what are they supposed to say? Nothing. Day number two, one time around, say nothing. Day number three, day number four, day number five, day number six. And all the way through the 7 times around on the 7th day, they're not supposed to say a word. But at the completion of the 7th trip, 13 times total, the priests blow with a trumpet a long blast, and people shout finally. So after the trumpet blast, after the shout, the Bible says the walls would fall down, Israel was to go up and conquer the city. Now, that is the occasion that Hebrews 11, verse 30 is talking about. So what does that mean about our faith? What can we learn now about our faith based on this narrative the Lord has given us? 3 things I want to share with you. Big number one. Ready? Faith will be shown in our obedience. Probably the most common lesson we talk about on faith. God responds to the faith of His people as is shown in their obedience. Okay, God says, if you really believe me, then you're going to act accordingly. We've given you different illustrations. Probably the most famous one, we'll get to you again. If someone comes, knocks on your door, and goes, "Richard Schuller, your house is on fire." Now, if you believe that person, you wouldn't roll over and go back to sleep. You'd do something about it, wouldn't you? Okay? So if you believe something, you're going to act in accordance. That's what the Lord says. If you really believe what I'm telling you, you would act based on what I'm saying if you really believe this. So God responds to the faith of His people shown in their obedience. Now, God expected complete obedience from Israel. He wanted them to do exactly what He said. Now, here's what I want you to notice. But nothing in their obedience would give them the victory. Let me ask you this. What does circling around 13 times, how does that win a war? How does blowing a trumpet win a war? How does shouting win a war? None of their obedience would give them the victory. God would give them the victory, but not until they were faithful in their obedience. And so God expected this obedient faith. Now, here's what we have to understand about faith and obedience. Okay? Faith and obedience are necessary to receive God's blessing. But the faith must precede the obedience. It's important. Faith comes first. Then the obedience follows. Okay? Faith without obedience will not be blessed. Because it's really not faith. Really not biblical faith because there's no works. But I want you to notice this, and this is important to understand. Okay? It's also important to understand I only hit the button once. Mm-hmm. Obedience not done in faith. Now watch this. If all you have is obedience and there is no faith, that's not going to be blessed either. That's why work salvation does not work. What's work salvation? Work salvation is saying, okay, I'm going to do all these things in order to gain salvation. And the Lord says, no. It doesn't start with your works. It starts with faith in Christ. Faith that Jesus came and died for us. Faith that that His death, His shedding of blood, all that He did on the cross is sufficient for my salvation. That's what my faith is in. My faith isn't I go to church. My faith isn't I'm a good person. My faith isn't I got baptized. My faith is in Jesus Christ. Now, does God expect us to obey Him as Christians? Yes. But the obedience comes after the faith. The faith, the Bible says you're saved by grace through what? Faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in His substitutionary death. That's what saves us. But we're saved now as saved people. We're saved to serve Him, to be obedient to Him. And so, obedience, if all I have is works and have no faith, I'm not going to be blessed either. So it begins with faith, but there should be obedience that comes after that faith. That's what God is looking for. So faith will be shown in our obedience. There's a second thing I want you to understand, is this. Now, number one is kind of old hat. We've kind of hit that in a bunch of different ways. But now we get a little bit different here. Number two is this. Faith will require our submission. A little bit different than obedience. Now, I would suggest to you that the hardest thing that Israel had to do in this whole scenario, marching around the walls 13 times, putting all the armor on, walking around 1 day, then 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7 times. The hardest thing they had to do was this. Ready? You watching me? Here's the hardest thing they had to do. Because I know people. People just want to say something. They want to say, "You really think this is going to work? This is kind of dumb, don't you think?" I mean, we always want to give our opinion. We always want to say something. We always want to speak up. And so, not just doing it, but doing it with a submissive heart, in a complete way, in surrendered way. That's what the Lord wants. Faith requires our submission. Now, the work of God goes forward based on those who are willing to risk their lives by faith and just submit themselves and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm all in on this thing." Now, I want you to listen. There is a place for planning. I'm talking about doing a work for God. There's a place for planning. And there's a place for thoughtful consideration. You weigh your options, you count the cost. There's a place to seek counsel and advice. But then, now listen to me, but then there comes a time to just shut up and follow God. A lot of times we don't follow God because all we do is just keep talking about and talking about and talking about. Okay, there is a time to talk. There's a time to figure out, okay, what's the best? What's the wisest? But eventually we got to say, okay, it's time to quit talking and it's time to start doing something for the Lord. So I'd say this to you. God not just wants our obedience, but He wants submissive obedience. Not this obedience that there's accompanied by murmuring, complaining, and questioning, and doubting. Say, "Okay, Lord, I'm in." I'll give you an example of what I mean, because you might be saying, "Well, what exactly are you talking about, Pastor?" So I'll give you an example. We're getting ready to finish our capital campaign next month. April, end of April will be our end of our capital campaign. That was how we bought this building, or at least got into a mortgage. And our goal was to raise enough money to get a down payment and get going. So we had a 3-year capital campaign. We had commitments at $66,000 over 3 years. And we are over $60,000. We're over 90%. They say if you get 80%, that's successful. So we've had 90%. I would say this, our capital campaign was very successful. We had 90%+ of that which was committed has come in. And we still got 2 months to go. And so that there's a lot of good things we can say about our capital campaign. It allowed us to put a down payment on this place, allowed us to go into a mortgage, all those, a lot of positives. Now, when we started this capital campaign, when we 3 years ago, we brought in Brother Gwynn, we brought in Brother Carter, right? Carter, yeah. Brother Carter, almost forgot his name. And we brought those guys in. They had some background in doing this. They helped us. We met together. We had meetings. We talked about it. But eventually, it came a time when it's time to quit talking. It's time to put money in the plate. It's time to go forward. If we're going to buy it, we got to buy it. We can't simply have a meeting for 3 years. Somewhere along the line, we got to draw a line and say, okay, let's start doing now what we're talking about. And that's what it comes when we're talking about faith. It's good to talk. It's good to come and get counsel. It's good to get some advice. But eventually, you got to draw a line and say, here's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to make some commitment. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to be a part of this thing. Sometimes it's time to just shut up and just do what the Lord has said. So faith will require our submission. And there's a third thing I want you to notice. Number three is this. Faith sometimes needs patience. There are times that God responds immediately to a person's faith. You see that in the life of Christ, where people came to Him and they were healed immediately. There are sometimes that's the way the Lord works. There are other times that you have to have great patience in addition to the faith. I would submit to you, it'd be a whole lot easier to live by faith that if we immediately saw the consequence of it. If we could live by faith tomorrow and live by faith today and receive the blessing tomorrow, it'd be a whole lot easier. Often we struggle because we live by faith today, live by faith tomorrow, and the next day, 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 and we're waiting to see what the Lord is going to do. And that waiting sometimes hinders us because we want to see it now. We become impatient. So let me ask you a couple questions here. Now we're getting kind of to the end of our lesson, so let me get some feedback from you. Ready? How many times total now, in total, how many times did God require them to circle the walls? 13, right? Okay. Now, listen. Could God have brought brought down the walls with fewer numbers? Could He have done it 12? 11? What's the fewest number that they had to circle the walls? But why do it 13? Now, think with me. If God could have done it at 0, why did God do it at 13? Now listen, this is a deep theological answer. You're going to really pay attention. I don't know. Neither do you. That's just what God said. And sometimes God tells you things that and says, you know what? You're just going to have to wait. You're just going to have to keep being faithful. You're going to have to trust me. And it may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. It may be several years. It may be multiple years down the road. But I want you to faithfully obey me. And there comes a time when I'm going to come through. And sometimes we may not see it till heaven. But there comes a time when God will come through. But the Lord demands patience. Truth is, we don't know all that the Lord's up to. We think this, be honest, this is how I think, this is how you think. We think the world revolves around us. And because it ain't happening in my life, then, Lord, what are you doing? I think the Lord sometimes says, you know, there's more than you on this earth. I'm dealing with other people as well. And sometimes the Lord uses your patience as a testimony to some other people that He's trying to help and trying to encourage. And so the Lord demands patience. We just have to say, I'm just going to... I try to put myself in these Bible stories. Could you imagine when Joshua got the army together and said, here's our battle plan. Yeah. What are we going to do? We're going to get our armor on. Yes. We're going to get our sword. Yes. We're going to get our spear. Yes. We're going to get our shield. Yes. What are we going to do? We're going to march around the wall. Yes. And then what are we going to do? We're going to go back home. Okay, we're going to do the next thing. Next day, same 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 thing. Day number 7, new battle plan. Yes, finally, something new. We're going to we're not going to do it one time. Oh, good, we didn't like that. We're going to do it 7 times. And then what? And then you're going to shout. And then what? And then God's going to give you the victory. Let me ask you, do you think that they might have had some doubt about that? But they did it. And they were patient. And the Lord came through. So God could have done it with fewer times. Now, same kind of question. Let me just ask you again, just looking at it from another way. How many days did God require them to circle the walls? 7. Could He have done it in fewer days? Yes. In fact, He could have done it before they ever showed up. He could have said, already knocked down the walls, show up. Now, listen carefully. Come to the end here. Sometimes we know why God causes us to wait. Sometimes we don't. This is why it's faith. Okay? So faith is following God no matter God's timetable. Faith isn't saying, God, here's what I'm trusting you to do at this time. It's saying, Lord, here's what I'm trusting you. And it's your time. You've got to be patient about this. And we get to the end of the lesson. Here's a thing, I think something we can take with us from it. One of the best things you can do for your family, your friends, your fellow believers, just for the world around you, one of the best things you can do is to be a person of faith. There's a lot of, maybe because of my being a pastor, I read more articles like this, but there's a lot of articles out there talking about our, you know, where we're at as a nation. You know, have we just completely walked away from Christianity and Bible? You know, it's this whole new generation and nothing to do with the Lord. Here's what I think the problem is. I think the problem is they look around, they don't see a whole lot of people of faith. They see a lot of people talking, not a lot of people walking a walk of faith. And I think really what the world wants to see is someone who's serious about their faith. Someone, it affects the way they live. The way, when they're at work, there's something different about them because of Jesus Christ. When they're at home, there's something different about them because of Jesus Christ. The Lord makes a difference. They are true people of faith. So how can we be a person of faith? Well, number one, you have to learn God's promises. You have to get in the book and find out what has God promised. Okay, what has God said that He would do in my life? I don't want to just make it up. I don't want to just invent things. But what has the Lord said? Number two, we have to believe, and then, once we learn it, we have to believe God's Word. God said it. Okay, I believe it. And the third thing is this. We have to obey God's principles. Every promise of God has principles that go along with it. Things that He wants us to put in action to show that we believe that promise. And then lastly, as the Lord works, as we trust the Lord, as we follow the Lord, we need to testify of God's goodness. When the walls of Jericho falls down, the answer isn't, look what we did. The answer is, look what the Lord did. Testify of His goodness.